Hi, welcome to the Empower Ed Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Kaufman, and the purpose of this podcast is to empower teachers, administrators, and parents of public and private school students through uplifting conversations with people across the country. Our goal is to address the initiatives and programs that are having a positive impact on student learning and really get to know the educators who are making a difference in the lives of our children. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a few minutes that may give you an optimistic view of where education is going. Hello again, everyone. This is Brett Kaufman, and welcome to our second series of Conversations About Race. Our guests are Ovi Ogunejibo, Jordan Lewis, and Tina Ellsworth, and today's episode is on the courage of engagement. For many white people, the self-reflection that comes with engagement in equity and anti-racist work can be disconcerting and uncomfortable. But for black people who face the pressures of racism every day, there can be no return to normalcy after the murder of George Floyd. In our conversation today, our guests discuss the need to stay engaged in this struggle and see it through, and what it would take for everyone to stay in this engagement. So that brings us to a very important question at this point, and that is, so why is it so important for white people to stay engaged in this now? Because I feel like we're starting to see it escape the news and be, you know, it's not in the news as much. And what does that look like for white people and for black people? What does that engagement look like for them? Hmm. So let's start, Jordan, let's start off with you.
I think going back to Tina's point about the people who claim to care but are unsure of what to say or participate in that willful ignorance, I think white people have to understand that you're needed, you know, like the issues that are going on, the systems that are in place to allow, these sorts of things to happen, the marginalization of certain communities, specifically the black communities where our focus is right now. But we need white people to be engaged to dismantle and confront those things, right? Because you're the ones that need to hold your peer groups accountable, right? You're the ones that need to respond and check those who are making those negative comments, right? And if you aren't equipping yourself with the skill set and the knowledge to do that, then just like Tina said, you're inhibiting the work from going forward. So trust me, I'm sure a lot of black people would agree, like we get it. So we wish we could do this on our own in a lot of ways. I feel that all the time. It's like, I wish that we could just do it on our own, but there's not enough of us. We don't carry the same weight in this society on purpose. That's why we're fighting against it, because that's our reality. So, and because of that, we need, you know, that term. I almost even don't like the term, because I think it gets thrown around so loosely with not a lot of, like, people don't have to back it up nowadays, but like, that's why we need white allies, right? Mm-hmm. Because we've been marginalized. When you're marginalized, you need folks from the group that is quote unquote in power to get on board. And so that's why it's so important for white people to stay engaged, to me, is they have to realize that they're needed in this.
Do you see a difference between an ally and a co-conspirator?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's easy to say you're an ally. That's the terminology that gets thrown around, you know. But I think I look at people's actions, not just what they say, right? I think that's what we have to do nowadays, is it's easy to make a post, it's easy to tweet things, it's easy to, you know, claim that you believe one set of beliefs, right? But what are your actions? Are you having conversations? Do I see you, you know, are you holding your friend group accountable, So when I think of like that term co-conspirator, that is allyship and beliefs in tandem with action. You know, when I hear ally, I hear just, okay, you agree with me. Racism is bad. Okay, cool. That's not enough anymore. I think we said this on the last podcast. Like, it's not enough to be non-racist. Now we need anti-racist people who are going to take actionable steps to confront, address the issues, and hold people accountable. So, yeah, I think there's a difference. Co-conspirator to me takes that next step of action.
So, Tina, follow up. You have any follow up with that? Okay, Ovi.
I'll put it like this. You know, I don't see this as a very, very difficult solution on what needs to be done. White people, if they care, should stay engaged because they usually hold the power. And so what you're seeing right now is a lot of lip service from a lot of organizations that are owned by white people and white people in general. But like Jordan just said, well, where's the action? Yeah, we want to be on the dance floor. Yeah, we want to be invited to the table. But you got to remember, you still own the dance floor and you still own the table. You also control the music. You decide what gets to be ate. So what are you going to do to change that? Like, to hell with being my ally at this point. To hell with saying all the right things. Show me some action. Go out there and be the Jane Elliott. Make your own kind feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Put their backs up against the walls because they expect it from me. But if Tina says something, it's like, oh, hold on, a white woman is saying that. And that's the problem in our society right now, the power struggle. And some white people are like, hey, I voted for Obama. I like Tupac and Biggie too. I even make Kool-Aid sometime. But what does that mean? what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything for me, nor does that help anything. Black people didn't put themselves in this situation. Right. White people did. So black people can't get themselves out of this situation, but white people can help. And it's going to take a collective effort with knowledge and love to really accomplish what needs to be done. So when people are upset at black people for doing XYZ, it's like black people don't really own anything in America. Black people don't really possess a lot of things in America. What white people can do and stay engaged is use their privilege, use their power to help marginalized groups, specifically black people and what we're talking about right now, specifically white men, because they hold the most power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Colin Kaepernick sticking his head out there is very powerful. And he sacrificed his job. But can you imagine if Tom Brady did it? Mm-hmm. If Aaron Rodgers did it, mm-hmm. Why do you think Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr are well respected within the black community? Because they just say it how it is. It's wrong. There's racism going on. When you look at sports, there's not a lot of black owners. How can that be when most of the players are black? When you look in education, there's all of these black children there, but there's no black teachers. There's no black administrators. There's not enough black superintendents. They don't hold the power, so they don't get to make the decisions. And most times, they're not invited into those conversations. Or if they are, they're tone deaf. So not only do you have to be about the lip service and say what needs to be done, but then follow up with action. And what's going on right now in 2020, there's so much of lip service, but there's no follow through. And people are like, I said what I said, and now I'm done. Mm-hmm. I did my part. Mm-hmm. But you got to follow up with the action. If you don't follow up with the action, the words don't mean anything. And that's the problem that we're facing. And for black people, they have to do their part too. We have to. And the biggest thing that I would encourage from black people in general is to start investing in our own. Mm-hmm. And it's this is where it gets so complicated to the average person. They may not understand. Like, this is what we mean systemic. This is what we mean that this empire of racism that has been built, that has conditioned black people to hate our own, that has conditioned black people to be more loyal to white people than we are to our own. And you don't see that amongst other groups. They invest in their own. They have their own little pockets within certain cities. But black people don't have that. It's like man hates what he can't conquer, fears what he doesn't understand. And white people, for some reason, have this blind fear of black people. Well, if that's the case, so be it. Black people, we have to continue to educate ourselves and continue to invest in ourselves and give back to our own communities. Because if that narrative is pushed out there and instilled within our heads, just imagine if Zion Williamson doesn't go to Duke, but instead goes to Jackson State University, instead goes to Alcorn State, goes to Grambling. Now, sponsors have to follow him because he is the money. And we know money drives America, but the money's not within the black community. So if you start having these black athletes starting to support black schools, well, Adidas, Nike, they have to go support those black schools. Yeah. Now, Duke ain't getting as much money. Nebraska's not getting as much money, you know?
Gosh, you said a couple things there that I was like, yeah. Whenever there's always this fear for me that as white folks, we're going to come in as saviors again. Right. That white savior complex is always there. It's why colonization happened. Mm-hmm. It's why some missions trips happen in places of color. And so I just keep thinking that, like, this is not for white people to do alone. This is for white people to follow the lead of black leadership, where black leadership can say, this is what we need you to do, and then we go and we do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that too many times white people can go, oh yeah, okay, I have power, I have privilege, I'm gonna go do something, okay, I'll come talk to you guys later, I'll let you know what I do. And it's like, but you can't even identify the problem. Mm-hmm. You can't even see the systems issue. You think that, like we were talking earlier, you think that changing the name of your high school fixes the system. That doesn't fix the system. And it's just like a band-aid on something that really just makes whiteness feel good about itself. Right. And so I think that don't do this alone, follow black leadership. And that's what that co-conspirator piece really looks like, is that it can never, like, for white folks who are, you know, when we stay engaged, when, not if, but when we stay engaged, and what does that look like? Who are the black folks that are holding you accountable for the work that you're doing? Do you have anybody? Or are you just looking for white people to tell you that you're doing a good job? Because that's the wrong group. We don't need to be placating to whiteness. And I think that when you had hit on earlier, okay, so some people have this fear of black people and they might not really know where it came from. It wasn't maybe explicitly taught to them, black people are scary, but they've internalized that through multiple messages. And Dr. Tatum's book, Why Do All the Black Kids Sit Together in the Cafeteria, she acknowledges and thinks it's important that we acknowledge that we all have bias and we're not responsible for having it, but we are responsible for changing it. So once somebody points it out to you, hey, there's a bias or prejudice or racist thing that's being said or believed here that's being acted on, okay, once somebody shows that to you, you are now aware of it. Now you need to go and change it. Don't feel bad about having had the bias.
Right.
But for the love of God, please stay engaged for all the reasons.
Got to keep going.
And I think, too, going back to something Ovi said about the importance of black people and how we stay engaged, right? So I think the reasons are different, and the challenges we face to disengage are different, right? Mm-hmm. Black people, I think, disengage from hopelessness.
Right.
These systems are so complex, and a lot of times it can seem such a daunting task that it's just like, I'm just gonna put my head down and do me and do right by my family, and that's all I can do. Mm-hmm. And I think what black people have to realize is because we need white co-conspirators and they need our guidance, like Tina said, black people need to be leading the charge and delegating and telling white people, here's how you can help and here's what we need you to do. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to stay engaged, to have those conversations, and not only, you know, organizing amongst ourselves, but being willing to have conversations with white people and to provide that guidance. And I think about something that Malcolm X said. He was approached once when he was doing his movement and his organizing by a white woman who wanted to help and asked him, like, what can I do? And at the time, he told her nothing. He said he was a very firm believer that, like, this is a black issue. Like, we don't, he did not want white help. Mm-hmm. And years later, short time before his assassination, he was reflecting on that. And he said he wished he would have been able to tell her, you know, here are some ways that you can help, because he came to realize that you really do need that co-conspiratorship.
And both of you guys people. Said that. So what would you, what are some things that you would start to task white people with doing?
Oh, I mean, my biggest one is just have courage. I know that's such a simple, broad thing to say, but that's the only way as black people we can survive. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to have courage. We have to continue to stand up to the systems. We have to continue sacrificing our lives, our families' lives, our reputations, our comfort. And white people don't have to do that. And I don't think they realize that. They don't have to think about these things when they navigate spaces, because almost everywhere is their space. While black people, we have to think so many times about every single thing that we do. So if white people can just simply have more courage and don't rebuttal me, but stand next to me and fight with me. Like, that's the only way. We are not going to accomplish anything in this society until we start loving more. Period. But guys, you got to understand, like, for a black person, that's a real hard pill to swallow, because black people are not the reason that we're in this situation. Yet we're being asked to, hey, don't hate us.
Right.
And let's work together. And it's like, dude, I'm not really sure how I feel about white people right now, because one, I don't know who to trust. Draw the line in the sand, white people. Pick a side. Because the truth is, black people will actually respect somebody that's racist, because we know. It's like, hey, man, you racist? Cool. You stay over there, I stay over here. We don't got to cross paths. But what's hard for a black person is when you play both sides. When you're borderline racist, when you're kind of a bigot, when you say questionable things. Because now it's like, do I trust you? Or like, wait, what does that mean? Or I saw that you like this, or you're donating to this organization that's like anti-black. Like, now I'm confused. And now I got no choice but to carry that same sentiment to the next white person I meet. Mm-hmm. And when they say something questionable, I'm like, hey, man, hold on. But like, when you come out with the white robe and the KKK and you're screaming all of these profanities, I know it's like, hey, that person doesn't like black people. I'm going to go over here. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Yeah. And holding your family, peer group accountable, right? That to me is going back to that having courage piece of, you see what can happen when white people come out. I think Ovi said something before we started recording about, like, there's some white people that are testing the waters.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You see what can happen when Drew Brees comes out and makes his statement mm-hmm. that he made. And maybe it wasn't all white people. Maybe there were some black people, too, of course, that were holding him accountable. Mm-hmm. But the real pushback that is going to get white people who have those implicit biases to start to reflect is going to come from the accountability of their white family members, white peers, white coworkers, because black people have been saying it forever. Mm-hmm. There's always been the pushback from us. But when white people start holding white people accountable, you see what happens.
Right.
There's apologies. There's recanting of statements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to take those things with a grain of salt, too. Are they just saying it to, you know, just to placate, or do they really mean it? That's neither here nor there, but that initial step of knowing, white people have to know that they're going to be held accountable. That to me is the first step towards, okay, why am I being held accountable? Oh, maybe I do need to think more about what I say. Well, why mm-hmm. is that? And that can sort of fuel that exploration.
And Tina, one more thing to add on to that, you know, so many white people want to know what they can do. It's nice that you listen to the podcast. It's nice that you read the books, but are you implementing that into your life? Mm-hmm. One, educate yourself. Two, start placing yourself in black spaces. Mm-hmm. Immerse yourself into black culture, because we've never really had a platform to do anything else. So we do it through our entertainment. We do it through our sports. We do it through our music. We do it through our art. Immerse yourself into that. make yourself feel uncomfortable. Go to black businesses, sit with black people, talk with black people. A book can only teach you so much. A podcast can only teach you so much. But when I sit down with you and I get to know you as a human being, that's when I learn. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, there was a kid who was transitioning. And I'm studying transgender people, but the most I learned is when I spoke to a person who was transgender and I said, hey, may I ask questions? And their response was, as long as I can ask you questions about sports, because I don't understand anything about that. And I said, I'll teach you sports. I just want to understand who you are. So I learned to respect people that's like you. And that's love. And that's education, but it's through experience. So let's stop just educating ourselves and start educating ourselves through experiences. Because if you read all about black people, but you never immerse yourself into black culture or around black people, how do you really know?
Mm-hmm. You know, when you said love, I hear that a lot in white communities where they say, but I do love black people.
Right.
I have black friends,
right.
Black family member. I'm the least racist person you know. And I just want to reiterate that what love looks like means you learn about racist systems, you inform yourself about how you are committing overt acts of racism, accepting the fact that you probably are, and then do it, then correct the behavior, or then go and do something that then demonstrates, no, really, I love you. I loved you so much to learn. I loved you so much to dismantle that. That is what love looks like. Right. It's not this arbitrary, I'm just happy, I love you. Right. Like, no, that's not love. That's not love.
And you have, and one last thing I'll add to that is that, going back to something Obi said earlier about the complexities of psychologically what this historical disenfranchisement, marginalization, subjugation of the black community has led to, has even caused black people to have those biases about themselves. So as a white person, you, who are you to think that you don't have those? Even I, as a black man, can walk by a black man across the street, and depending on the setting, time, place, appearance, the overall situation, I myself can have an implicit judgment and might feel hostile or have a thought towards that person. So even if me, myself, as a black person have to check that, of course you as a white person have to check that. And you being married to a black guy or having biracial children or having a black family member or having, I don't care how many black friends you have, there's still work that needs to be done day to day, moment by moment, as you have these interactions. And that doesn't make you a racist, right? It just means that psychologically, our brain is designed to generalize and make patterns. And if black people themselves fall victim of that against their own, then don't be so naive to think that you, there's nothing there just because you have a black friend.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Empower Ed with your host, Brett Kaufman. Send us your comments and feedback by becoming a member to the Empower Ed Network. You can find us at www.teachempower.com. That's www.teachempower.com. And remember to spell empowered with an I. Because when you're empowered, every student learns. Take care and subscribe to our channel for more uplifting conversations about our educational landscape.